8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Circle that in your Bible. See, I know you heard this preached before, but you didn't see this right here. These are some very vital details. They say, who in the world are you? They don't know him. Many people have people living with them and don't know him. I want to know your habits. What do you eat? Where do you sleep? How you spend your recreation time? Do you go to church? Where do you go to church? I tell you what I look at now. When I look at TV and I look at the politicians, I want to know what church they go to. Yeah, y'all dealing with moral issues. What's your commitment to the Lord? You know, no, seriously. Where y'all at on the Word of God? Amen. The greatest document is not the Constitution. It's this Bible. It's righteousness. It's the Word of God. Amen. Politicians say it's okay to lie. It's not illegal to lie. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I ain't dealing with nobody who feel like that about lying. And y'all making the laws? And y'all don't care about lying? Oh, no. Oh, no. Hold up. Let's hold up. Hold up, America. Hold up. Put the brakes on. We need to do some interviews here. I took the time to look at some of the Supreme Court justice confirmation hearings. They done caught him lying for 3 years. You done lied in 2004, 2006. You told the same lie, and you came back and verified the lie. And they done busted you in it on international TV. Not national, international TV, judge. We better pray. I said we better pray. See, y'all folks trying to get preachers and all to shut up. No, you better want preachers to say something. Because they're saying, don't make no scriptural references. When you get anything, anywhere, anybody that rule this book out, you in trouble. I better go on. And I like him. I like the judge. You know, he's a smooth operator and a big liar. I don't trust him around the corner. Cory Booker ate his lunch. Yeah. He's not the only one. But that's just to help him. That's to help him. A lot of major decisions. But our decisions on this book here. Let's go quickly. So they asked Jonah. They said unto him, every one of them, let us cast lots. They found him, and they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil come upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence cometh thou? What kind of work you do? Where did you come from? And what's your country? What country you come from? Who your people? And what people art thou? I want to know the details. Give me your testimony. Let me hear your testimony. A lot of you young ladies, you dating guys, you don't know their testimony. He ain't got down. He don't have no testimony because he ain't saved. I'm sitting across the table in a premarital counseling. I asked the guy, I said, are you saved? You born again? He took the same amount of time as Judge Kavanaugh did to answer that question. I said, taking you a little too long to answer that saved question, brother. I turned and looked at his proposed fiance. You know what we have here, don't you? You have an excuse to pastor situation. I will have nothing to do with marrying you and this man. No matter how much you love him or lust him, y'all gonna do that on y'all own. I said, whether you love him or lust him, that's your deal. The brother is not a Christian. Then, matter of fact, you my member. I'm thinking you saved. I might need to ask you again. Are you saved? I just want to be in boundaries. I don't want to be standing before the Lord lying before the Lord because I know he's not saved. Let me go on. And that's not a put down because he could get saved right there. Let's go on. I knew that was in Jonah, Pastor. Yes, in there. Because see, they doing an interview. They interviewing Jonah. Matter of fact, they interviewed Brett Kavanaugh. They asked him, said, we can't hold it here. We don't have his background. We don't have his testimony. Y'all holding back all the information about where he come from, who his people are, what he done with the cases. We need that information so we can know him. We can't know him, and y'all want to make us have the hearing without information we need about him to know who this guy is. That's what that was. So what they did after the wind blowing with Jonah, they said, Jonah, we need to talk to you. We cast the lots, you know. And it say, you the guy that's causing the problem. We need to have an interview with you. Yeah. When you know, he who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is wise. Follow him. When you know you don't know, that's what it said. They said, Mr. Chairman, we're not ready to hold no hearing. We don't know the information about this guy. Because y'all keeping the information. Y'all have over 42,000 pages of information and emails, and we don't have them. They didn't know, and they knew they didn't know. That means we're not prepared to properly vet him or ask him questions about who he is. And the storm is already raging in the judicial system. It's already a storm in America. We don't need another mistake made with a guy like this to put him on the Supreme Court. These guys will say, this ship is about to flip. And we need to know who's causing this. And we need to interview this guy. Isn't that something? Y'all, I don't know. In a big storm, and y'all talking about interviewing a guy? Yes. Because they know this does not happen unless there's something on this ship or somebody on this ship that's out of the will of God. This is not supposed to happen. So he said, and I'll go further. They said, tell us, we pray thee, who's this evil cause. In verse 9, and he said unto them, I am in Hebrew. Read that with me together. And he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Lord have mercy. I like that. Let's read that again. He said, verse 9, and he said unto them, real out, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord and the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Keep going. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Underline the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. What are they running from? What are they running from? Why they talk about the church? Because the presence of the Lord. This had to do with preachers and men and women preachers and Christian people, this hypocrite. It don't have nothing to do with none of that. You ain't gonna find no more hypocrites than you will in the world. Anybody accuse the church of being hypocritical ain't never been a sinner. You talk about some hypocrites, and all other stuff. But the point is, that's the good thing about being saved. You admit you needed a Savior. The fact that you're a Christian, like they say about a pardon. In order to receive a pardon, you have to admit guilt. The pardon means you have admitted I'm guilty. That's you. That's us. We all got pardons. That means to get it, you had to admit you were guilty. Hold your hand up if you know you were guilty. Yeah, it's good to remember that. Because we have a Savior. So with Jonah, when he said who he was, and he revealed this to them, they're like, oh my God, he's admitted it. It's God looking for this guy. That's why we have a problem. And it's going to get worse. See, in avoiding the presence of God, not going to church, not, you know, submitting to God, there's another captivity that takes place. And I'm going to go there now and I'll be through. Can you say amen? There's another captivity. And it's not limited to men, male or female. Captivity comes in various forms. It can be psychological, physical, emotional. Yeah. There's some people that have children and they are psychologically in captivity because of unpredictability and lack of discipline in their own children. They can't get a moment's sleep because their children are so much stuff. Having them to go to jail would be a blessing because at least you know where they're at. And even then, it's some stuff. See, that's how captivity works. It's the devil's calling card. Can you say amen? So that's why you have to stand against that. When you know you're a man or woman of God, that's not for you. You have to stand against, you bind the devil. That's not for me, God. I'm not supposed to lose sleep over my kids or nobody else. And I won't. Turn to your neighbor and say, and I won't. Amen. You're not going to lose sleep over nobody else. You give it to the Lord. So anyway, politically, I'm just letting you know so you get your prayer life lined up. So you don't have to put up with stuff. Well, you know, life just happened to everybody. Yeah, I know it does, but it's not supposed to happen like this for you. These guys were saying, we're not going to sail like this. Wherever you were going, you're not going with us. They changed the plan. They said, well, we know you. I paid good money for this ticket. Yeah, okay, watch this. This is Jonah. He paid for his ticket. He's running from God. They said, we're not even going to take you where you want to go. You getting off. But the word says, this is one of those messages about getting rid of the wrong friends and all that kind of stuff. All that's in here. So he said to them, I'm Hebrew. So they had told him. Then said he unto them, verse 11, then said he unto them, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? What do I need to do with my relationship with you so my life will be back on even keel? I tell you what it is. I can stop talking to you, stop calling you. Don't come visit me no more. As a matter of fact, we're going to break this all the way off. That's on tape so you'll know how to do it. When you get serious enough about your life and you bound up and connected with the wrong person and they're operating in disobedience. I know many of you met some people and you got to talking to them and said, how do you know so much about God but you don't go to church? How can you be so critical about the preachers and you don't go to church? You seem to have a little bit more knowledge more than the average. And you don't go to church. I know about the church, about that church thing. Yeah, never mind. It's some foolishness for me to follow that statement. You can't know the Lord like this here and don't submit. No, don't fool yourself, saints. So, anyway, you know, of course, the person is backslidden, but you're in a backslidden condition. Prison's full of many backslidden people, male, female, different races of people, whatever. Then said they unto him, what should we do unto thee that the sea may come unto us? For the sea wrought and was wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, verse 12, you see that word, it was wrought and what? What was it? Tempestuous. That's not a regular everyday word, is it? It's not good though. That means it was doing some bad stuff. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest, which is a part of the word tempestuous. When last time you heard that word? James Cleveland sang that. Peace be still. Y'all remember that? Amen. For he said, my sake, the great tempest is upon us. Nevertheless, the men The men rode hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. They like, okay, let's just get over and drop him off over here on the side. Let's drop him off on the beach over here somewhere. And so they rode hard to get where they can get rid of it. But they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. They're trying to get to the land and the sea won't let them get there. God won't let them get there. Because God got a plan of what to do with you. And he don't want you on the beach. He's not going to drop you in no good place. Just drop me off over there when y'all get down there by Belize, Mexico. Just drop. No. The ship couldn't get close enough. The seas were there. See, this is to get you to understand that all these circumstances happening to somebody who's in rebellion, that won't submit to God, are not coincidental. They are orchestrated. They are directed. Amen. And the only release from them is to submit to God. That's the only way out. When God calls you, you ain't going to tell him no. You might tell him just a minute, but you're not going to tell him no. But the word says, let's wrap this up. So nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, who cried unto the Lord? They cried, and hear that, they calling God. They know who they're dealing with now. He told them, he said, I'm a Hebrew. He said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Don't kill us for him. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. You created problems for other people. Your disobedience and running from the Lord, so to speak, is creating problems for everybody connected to you. There's a price on your head. Why are you judging the church with your smart self? You in captivity. So the word says, then the word says unto him, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Read that with me. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Just hold on a minute. We coming in the shore. I'm not going to go all the way to chapter 4. I'm not going to do that. Okay. They threw him overboard. He's identified. He's a man of God. They throw him overboard. They can't get to the side to get rid of him. They cannot conveniently get rid of him. They said, we tried to get to the shore, but you got to go now. See, when you're taking measures to get this castaway out of your life, be deliberate with it. Be deliberate. No, you're dealing with spiritual things. As soon as they threw him overboard, the sea calmed. Like the sea said, thank you. We'll take it from here. Now, the interesting part about Jonah, the way it's magnified, is about Jonah being in the belly of the whale or belly of the fish, isn't it? That's the part you hear. Not this part right here. Running from God. Everybody born on the planet made for God. To serve God. Well, I don't know. I don't know that church is for me. It's for everybody born. You are one of thousands of people that could have been born, but you're the one that was born. Don't let the devil talk you into that. Now, what's your assignment, your destiny, that may be different, but it's to serve God. And so as we know that story about when they threw him over and said they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Read that with me. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, this is as far as I want to go this morning. I reference the 3 days and three nights as Jesus in the belly of the earth. This is when Jesus went to hell. It wasn't designed to be convenient. It was a price that had to be paid. That's right. David wrote about it in song. So Jonah is in captivity for real now. He's not free to walk around like he was before. He's not free. He's still alive, but he's a captive. But his captivity was symbolic of what Jesus had to go through. Amen. In order to bring about what we live in. He had to go. He had to pay the price. Jonah didn't die. He didn't die in the whale or in the fish that God, as he was thrown overboard. But he lived. But when he came up, when that fish coughed him up after 3 days and three nights, then Nineveh, which was waiting, destiny. Somebody say my destiny. Your destiny is waiting on you to die to yourself. It's waiting on you to die to yourself. And until then, you are a captive. You're in bondage psychologically, economically, many cases physically, amen, and spiritually. You are captive. And these are the causes of captivity, is being disobedient to the directive of God on your life. People hear the voice of God. God called Adam. Say, Adam, where art thou? God know. You know God's voice. He's directed. He used people to direct you. He sent you to certain places. It's certain information he wants to prepare you to do what he wants you to do. Where God guides, he provides. He will provide your equipping and your information and your knowledge to do what he wants you to do. He said he wants Jonah to preach to Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh because he loved the people, the great city Nineveh. The wickedness in Nineveh, and you the God that's going to preach to him. But he didn't want to do it. It's a lot of things you don't want to do. This ain't your mama and daddy. This is your heavenly father. You going to do it, or you going to be in bondage. There are spiritual laws, and there is no middle ground. You're not going to live a whole life analyzing obedience. Disobedience is dangerous. And so they realized that it's like wherever he was, something's on him. It's something about you. I don't know what it is. Well, I don't know. Jumbo, he just can't keep a good job. Know why? There's something on him. There's something about him that people don't want him there long. What is it? His disobedience to God. It's all over him. Nothing seems to work out well for him. And it won't. Until he obeys God. Until he obeys God. And then things will open up for him. And so Jonah was taken out of circulation. He's taken out of circulation in the ocean. He came to a conclusion at the end of those 3 days, just like Jesus came up out of the belly of the earth. Amen. Just like he rose from the dead. Jonah came up with one mind. I'll pick up there next time. Oh, he's headed to Nineveh. Are you ready to obey God yet? If you're under the sound of my voice, whether you're a Facebook listener, whether you're in this service, are you ready to do what God wants you to do? Are you ready to be prepared to do what God wants you to do? There's nothing but blessings in it for you. But there's something in you that's made for the assignment that God has for your life. God needs you to be ready. If you say to me, Pastor Thomas, I believe God has for me something for me to do in my life. I don't think I'm doing it yet, but I want to yield my will to his will this morning so that he can show me what it is. I want you just lift your hand up right now all over the auditorium. You say, Pastor, I want God. I want to hear the voice of God. I'm not asking you to get saved if you're not saved. This is not salvation. This is obedience. You might not even be born again. You say, I want to obey God. I want to get ready to do what God would have me to do. Just raise your hand. That's all. This is not an altar call. This is a call for you. Is your heart willing to obey what God has for you? Just raise your hand. I don't want to give you testimony. I'm ready to be used by God for what God would have. He'll tell you what it is, and he'll prepare you for it. Just raise your hand real high. It's okay. Raise your hand like your own price is right. The rewards here are greater than that. Amen. Amen. Are you willing? Are you willing to be used by God? Amen. Just hold it. I see your sister, hold it real high. Just hold it real high. Just lift it up. Like, that's right. That's right. See, God sees your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. All over the auditorium. Amen. In the meantime, for those whose hands not up, you don't want to be in captivity. God doesn't want you under any kind of bondage. Your bondage, his bondage, relationship, bondage, no kind. It's not his will that you would be bound. Your liberty, Jesus paid for your liberty. Amen. Amen. You may put your hand down. As your hands are down, head bowed, eyes closed. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm not saved, but I want to be. If you'll lift your hand up right now, I'll pray with you as we bring this service to a close. You say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. Just lift your hand if that's your prayer. Say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I want to be. I want to give my life to Jesus right now. But Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Amen. Okay, if you're here and you're saved, you're born again, and you've been out of fellowship with God, you received communion this morning, your fellowship is restored. If you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, you say, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, just raise your hand, I'll pray with you, and you will pray with you, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Just like on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. If you're here and you're not a member of this local church, you say, Pastor, I believe God would have me be a member of this local church. We believe in membership. If you just lift your hand, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Last but not least, if you're here, you say, Pastor, I have somebody in my family. I have a close friend, somebody I know. I believe they're running from God. I don't know if they know they're running from God. I believe they are good people, but this describes them. What I want you to do, I want you to just raise your hand. I want to pray for them. I don't know who it is. I don't know them. I don't know them. You know them. I want to pray for them right now that they will come to a level of understanding. And you're going to see it with your very eyes, a change take place in their life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release our faith and the revelation of your love and your guidance and direction for this person whose hand their hands are held for, in the name of Jesus. Let them see as clearly than ever before that your plan is to use their life to be a blessing and to do more with it than have ever been done. I come against the works of the enemy, the lying, the deception, the inhibitions, the hindrances that will cause them to not submit to you, God, to be in the presence of the Lord on a regular basis. Let them be in the house of God. Let them, Father, glorify you, Father. Let their eyes be enlightened. The eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they know, they may know what the hope of your calling is. Oh God, we thank you right now. We call them delivered from the deception of the enemy. Be their husband, be their wife, be it a son, be it a daughter, in Jesus' mighty name. And we count it done in Jesus' name. And we all said together, amen, amen, and amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.